In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas, St. Thomas.
Merry Christmas.
We get to say that for another week, until the Feast of Epiphany. So recently, a friend of mine has a brand new baby, and I haven't gotten to hold her yet. But I wonder, what is it about holding a baby that is so entrancing for many of us? In my experience, babies usually aren't especially pretty. They're kind of funny looking, wrinkly like a pug. But I love holding them. Ever since my parents adopted a baby when I was about 12, right? There's nothing for me like holding a baby. I wonder if it's their vulnerability, their complete trust, their utter acceptance of the one who is holding them. When I was 12, I needed some acceptance in my life. Now, older children, like toddlers, tend to get squirmy when you try to hold them, and they want to get down and do their own thing, right? These days, when I try to pick up my own children, they kind of yell at me and say, "No, no, put me down." They don't think I'm strong enough to safely pick them up anymore. But when they were babies, I loved to hold them. Now, Christmas is a time when we remember, as in our window with the sun streaming through right there, that God became a baby. God became utterly vulnerable, dependent, trusting, and accepting. And you know, God's character doesn't change. And so in the incarnation, in the birth of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, we learn something important about God. We learn about God's capacity to be vulnerable, to be dependent, to be trusting, to be accepting. Now, our evangelical friends often like to use phrases like accepting Jesus into your heart. But I think the real miracle lies elsewhere. I think the message of the Bible is not about accepting Jesus into our hearts. It is instead about the fact that God has already accepted you into God's heart. And that the barriers that lie between you and God, between you and your neighbor, between you and yourself, those barriers are all man-made. The message of the Bible from start to finish is a message of reconciliation. In our second reading today, Paul writes, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed." Now Paul, the good Jew, was talking about Torah, which had a wider meaning than just a list of rules. Torah was and is a way of life, a way of being that leads to a particular end. And as Christians, we believe that that end is found in Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes on, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." The law was and remains a gift. I don't know about you, but I love structure, right? I love guidance. I love reassurance along the way. And so when I want to get from point A to point B, what I want to do is to look that up on the map and see the roads that I need to take, right? Structure. And then I want reassurance. Along the way, I want street signs so I can know I'm still on the right path, that my map is accurate. Now, the spiritual life is not so simple as just going from point A to point B geographically. And so our maps for the spiritual life are not quite as simple. What we have instead are more like trail guides, right? Trail guides that describe what you're going to see along the way and how to recognize when you've reached particular places or experiences that others have encountered before you. That's what the Bible is like. That's what the law was all about. That is what the writings of the saints and the traditions of the church teach us. Now, some people embark upon the spiritual journey with little or no guidance from those who have gone before them. And I think God can work through that. However, myself, I wouldn't dream of studying physics without a firm grasp on calculus, right? And I wouldn't dream of studying trumpet without the ability to read music. And so I'm grateful for and I receive as a gift most of what Scripture and the church and Christian tradition have left for me. We stand on the shoulders of giants. And just as St. Thomas is not a museum, we as individuals are not primarily historians. That foundation that has been given to us was not given just for the sake of indulging in nostalgia, but because we're going somewhere. We're doing something. We're meeting someone. During this Christmas season, we remember Jesus being born into the world, and we strive to prepare our hearts to be places where Jesus will be born again. In baptism, we ourselves are born anew into God's heart. And so, like a newborn's first days and weeks of life, the faith that we practice is one of vulnerability, dependence, trust, and acceptance. Faith means that we can and do say a million times, "I don't know. I'm not sure." And on our more positive days, we rephrase that as, "I wonder. I wonder." So I myself am a squirmy toddler in God's loving arms. I'm always trying to get down and to assert my own independence. But what I'm reaching for is the contentment of the newborn. Contentment to be held, to be shaped, to be formed by the other who holds me and leads me into a new awareness of life. There comes an age where children no longer want to cuddle. But then there comes another season of renewed appreciation and renewed closeness. And that's how our journey with God works. And that's how we are fed by the seasons of the church year. May this new year see you carried in God's hands like a cuddly newborn. You may not be the prettiest baby that ever lived, but that's okay, because God loves you as only God could. Amen.